F4.
Number 23B.
Malika got to the next little subtown, the Christ. After he first presented, the word is always the presentation of a subject. He's presented the house that has many mentions. He has shown the whole fact that being is a structure of categories. Now he goes on and says, now naturally you must work in the same way. You just can't have always that model of consciousness on a piece of paper in front of you. It must be you yourself. So he said to Philip, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Do you hear again that tone of oneness that comes up again and again now? One. The oneness, I must be clear, the oneness of Word, Christ, Christianity as science. That's the oneness. Not just the belief that somehow I'm one with the Infinite One. It is a oneness with the category of the four. So the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. Again that unity, the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth, now you have the Christ, he doeth the works. So it begins to show that the moment we understand really that mention, that house, what does Hemi mention, that is an idea, is a scientific idea, and every idea has a Christ. Every idea works by itself. Not we make an idea work. We think that way because we are not scientists, because we are mentalists and are working with arguments and so on. But when we are scientists, we know that when we understand and see an idea, that idea has a Christ and begins to work for us. That idea does the work. No one can really make an idea work. The idea works by itself. 11, believe me that I am in the Father. Can you see again that oneness? I am in the Father. Not I am approaching the Father, like the days of creation, like the baptism. You don't say, I approach God. Here we have that sense, believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Again the works, the Christ. Believe me for the Christ working that shows forth that I'm one with the Father. It is a unique statement that he makes, that I believe the Father because of my works. That's a unique. That's inductive reasoning. And that's something that Mrs. Eddy in her whole work only uses once. That she says Christian Science will be learned through at the beginning. She says that Christian Science will be grasped in an inductive way through the healings. That's the only one. Else, she always talks about deduction and the right line of reasoning, without saying that this deduction is always a deductive way. Like John, from God, from the Word, to the Christ, to Christianity. So, at the beginner, he is attracted to Christian Science, not because he understands the principle of Christian Science, but because he sees the signs, the miracles, the wonders, because he sees healings or any other demonstration, until he finally says to himself, there must be something good about it, something true about it, I wonder what it is, and he begins to investigate it. So that is just to say, we shouldn't rely too much on the inductive work in Christian Science, that people are drawn to Christian Science through the healings. They may be, but really the future of Christian Science, the future, lies really in understanding the deductive way of reasoning from principle right through all the various categories, right to the last needle. So, believe me, my very work's sake. 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can you see in every one of these verses the term work reappeared? So that gives you at once the tonality and say, now he is constantly talking about the works, and the works that naturally are the manifestations of the Christ. So you cannot help to see that he is now talking in the category of the Christ. But what does he really mean here in 12? This is a great statement, because already before he was saying that you will see greater works, he said right at the beginning to Nathanael, and we will do greater works we had before, and now he makes a point out of it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why can he do greater works? And he gives the reason for it. He gives the reason why he can do greater works. Because Jesus said, I always go to the Father. And as you can go to the Father, you can do the same works. And as the Father has a genesis within itself, that the Father is no more the God of 50,000 years ago, is no more the same God as 20,000 years ago, is no more the same God as in the first 1,000-year period of the biblical history, is no more the same as in the prophetic age. In the 5,000 year, he's another God again, he's the Father. Up to that point, God was not called the Father that would take care of everything. And so in our age, he's called truth, or he's called love, so that he could see that you can do greater works. Namely, because I go to the source, I go to the principle, to the Father, which is life, truth, and love. So at that time, nobody really could understand him, because the age of science has not been born at that time. So they couldn't understand his scientific reasoning. But we know that greater things have been done than what Jesus did. Namely, what Mrs. Eddy has done, to my sense, is a greater thing. Now, I always say it wrongly, because I'm so used to other Christian scientists talking about Mrs. Eddy. We should say greater things have been done because has given science and health. And naturally, Mary Baker Eddy was that terrific transparency, that clean window pane through which the light could shine. At the beginning, that window pane was not quite clear, but she was willing to clear it and clear it and let it be clear and clear until nothing could obstruct anymore the effulgence of light shining through her. And so she could revise and revise the textbook every year and every month until the end of her life. This is the second coming of the Christ, the Christian Science textbook. Not Mrs. Eddy. Mrs. Eddy's time was prophesied. But what came was the second coming of the Christ, namely Christ's science. And Mrs. Eddy was a willing instrument for it. And she said she would blush if she would say that she wrote the textbook. So it's very clear that Mrs. Eddy is not the second witness, but science and health is the second witness. So just at that age, the scientific age has not broken in yet on Jerusalem, on Palestine, but now we have the greater work. Now we don't have to rely on a person like Jesus and see the works of Jesus. Now Mrs. Eddy came and said, yes, in the Bible you see all those big calibers, spiritual calibers that did mighty works. But what does that do to us if we don't know how to do them, if we don't know the science behind it? So she said, I know that these works were being done by holy uplifting faith, semicolon, but, and always when it comes to but, Sorry. That was my ring. Always when it comes to but in science and health, you have to pick, you have to listen very carefully, because that comes the main thing, you see. So he said, but I must know the science of this healing. That's the greater work than the healings that have been done by great visionaries, by great calibers like Moses and the prophets, and by Elijah and Elias, by Mrs. Eddy, by Jesus and so on. The greater work was now to have a science which would enable everyone who is willing to listen, and to read, and to study, to also understand God. This is the first time in history that we have a means to understand God, and that is the greater work. We don't need to walk over the water, over the ocean. It would be a hell of a job to come from Europe. It's much easier to fly. Yeah. So Jesus could not teach more than what he was teaching. You see, he could see little children, he called them, little children. Well, you don't give a real prime rib to a 2 years old child. Huh? You give them milk and something that they can digest, but not a real good prime rib. That's what Jesus did. He gave them what he could see, they could swallow, they could digest. Yeah, then we come further. Aspect of that oneness of God and the Son and all, from the point of view of Christianity, where we epitomized it through the Comforter, now this Paraclete, everyone receives individual revelation. You can see it's at the point of Christianity because it has to do with everyone. That's the focal point of Christianity, man, that man can receive revelation. So if he had promised before, well, I will, the time will come when you will do even greater works, he couldn't leave it at that. He would have to say how they may be able to do greater work, how they will have their own individual revelation straight from God. That was now the subject. That is here the subject. And he tries to build it up and say, how do you get it? So he starts out and says, 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Most of the translators say that it should read, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. That's a bit different. He says, if we have the love for God, if we have the love for the one being, we cannot help but keeping the commandments, because then we have already fulfilled the commandments, namely, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So he says, if you have that love within you, then you are secure. You keep your commandment. And I will pray my Father, and he will give you another Comforter. This is now the Paraclete. He will give you another Comforter. He will give you another Helper. He will give you another Advocate that stands by you and that informs you and tells you what to do and how to do and how to go about things. That he may abide with you forever. This is a greater thing, to abide with you forever. Jesus came and went. He didn't stay. So he said, a greater work will happen, and you will see it. You will get another Comforter, you will get another Helper, you will get another leader that tells you, that stays with you forever. Now, Mrs. Eddy didn't stay forever either, but the textbook, can you see? The second witness is not Mrs. Eddy, as all these people are blaring it out into the world. It's not true. It's not true. And in the chapter on Revelation, Mrs. Eddy is very clear that she is not that woman. That woman is the womanhood of love that was able to bring forth really science and health. That's our second witness. And that abides with you forever. So it's a greater work to show a comforter that is not just coming for a few weeks or a few years and then goes away and then it's no more here, but that it stays forever with you. So Jesus was only temporary. And then he goes on and says, oh yeah, in 16, about the comforter, that he will send another comforter. And now he explains that comforter in 17, even the Spirit of Truth. So he translates it down to the level of Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. So we see that happening. The world does not even know anymore that there is a science and health. The world today not even anymore knows really that there is such a thing as Christian science. I am flabbergasted to witness that. I remember as a little boy, Christian science was in everybody's mouth. Everybody was speaking about Christian science. You could go into a little hamlet, and there would always be someone who would know about Christian science because a healing has taken place. And so today, not even in big towns, people know the term Christian science, that exists. What about Mrs. Eddy? She used to be one of the biggest women in America and be praised as one of the biggest women. Now you have books on great women in America and Mrs. Eddy not even appears in it. You see? That's what happened, and it's, yeah. But ye know him, he said, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Can you say again, always on the basis of oneness, we can have the new revelation, the new comforter. Only on that. The world that is not one with it cannot receive it, doesn't know it, and therefore cannot do greater works. But those who are one with the system, they are ready to receive him. So he said to them, I will leave you not comfortless. See, I send you a comforter. So I don't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He says, I will come to you again. Well, he has come again. So people were from that time on waiting for the second coming of the Christ, and they expected the second coming of the Christ every moment. So 2,000 years they were expecting the second coming of the Christ at any moment. And he never came. And when he came, the world did not know it. The world did not know it because it doesn't see it. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me. Ye have now the consciousness that you can see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. You can see, he says, I go away, and you see me no more, but you can know me. The world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live. That whole story of Jesus lives in us today. It lives in us today. And we see that story in a higher light than the people at that time. So nothing got lost. Even if Jesus disappeared, he didn't get lost. He is today much more clearly defined in our consciousness than at that time. We see the Christ idea as being the main thing about Jesus. We see the Christ idea as a whole matrix of ideas. And we see much better than ever before. Much better. Nothing gets lost in the spiritual realm. People come and go, ideas remain. Ideas just remain. They may be hidden for a while so that the idea has peace and stillness to grow. It's a winter time where you don't see how the seed is taking root, where the seed is beginning to push. We don't know it. It's a winter time, but there will always be a springtime. There will always be a springtime where we see that it comes forth. And in a way, I think for the world, we are going through the winter time. We are We are just a few in this whole big world of 5 billion people, just a few hundred people who love this idea and who devote their lives and their thought and their energy to that idea, hidden away. It's like in the stable of in Bethlehem, hidden away, nobody knows it, nobody thinks very much of it. But the time will come when there will be springtime. So let's use that wonderful time of winter where really the seeds have time and peace to grow in a natural way. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. This is, so to say, the first time he gives the whole oneness of Word, Christ, and including Christianity. Most of the time up to now he showed the oneness of the Father and the Son. And here and there sometimes he talked about ye, and ye if ye believe. But the oneness is not now brought out. You see how delicate he was writing, that he was waiting 14 chapters long, until he would really let the cat out of the bag, huh? And say, you know, actually what I am driving at is to show you that not only God and the Christ is one, but that the Christ is in you. And therefore you too, Christianity, you are one with the Christ and you are one with the Father. That's what he shows here. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, the Son is in the Father, and ye in me, and ye in me, ye, Christianity, in the Christ, in me, and I in you, and I in them. Very nice. So if you have that consciousness, then he can say, then you are prepared for individual revelation. That then the revelation is not only from the Father to the Christ, but that it comes right down through the Christ to each one of you. So he says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, keep the unity with the Father, he is it that loveth me, that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Can you see how he plays with that? 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, and shows that if we have keep the commandments and love the Christ, and we love the Father, the Father will reveal himself to the Christ, and the Christ will reveal himself to you, and you have individual revelation. So we can't get around, in order to have revelation, to stick to that calculus and go along those categories. 23, he will come unto him and make an abode with him. He stays with there. We get it, and when we get the revelation, it stays with us. It doesn't vanish anymore. Only psychological inspirations come and go. But spiritual inspiration, they stay with us. So, but 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, the Father in my name, in the Christ's name, he shall teach you, Christianity, he shall teach you all things. And you see how we get divine revelation right from the Father through the Christ to us. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Yes, Jesus said the truth, huh? And the Comforter will come and will explain what Jesus said. He will explain it. And signs and health will come and go also back to Jesus and build on Jesus and the Christ. And so the signs and health also writes about the truth. And John Dolly came and said, and that was written about the truth I'm going to explain to you. And he will explain you all things. Can you see how spiritual history repeats itself? Material history may not repeat itself, though one feels it also repeats sometimes. But spiritual history always repeats itself. nothing is getting lost. If we go one step further, that doesn't mean that what has led us to the further step is now unnecessary, that we can discard it. Not at all. Not at all. It will throw a bigger light, a greater light on what has gone before. We get a bigger light on the gospel than what the people at that time got out of the gospel. Much more. They would be surprised to see the greater insight that we have on their time, and that is what Jesus could foresee. I send you a comforter, and he will teach you all things, and he will also bring into remembrance whatever I have said unto you. So we are still thinking and knowing what Jesus said unto them, but from a much higher standpoint. Don't you feel that way, that this week we are going to see really that whole story of Jesus in a completely new way, that nobody was thinking about it, nobody was dreaming about it. It's so new and so unique, and greater works shall you do, greater work. All right, do I have 2 minutes left? Okay. The last point is very short, the point of science. It's a oneness with God brings peace. And discord finds no more room. What he says here, peace I leave with you, but my peace I give unto you. He gives them a new sense of peace. I hope he has given us this week a new sense of peace. New sense of peace. Let not your heart be troubled. He repeats at the end how he began. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. If you love me, you should rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. He could see the greater works will come by going to the Father. Not by going to the Christ alone, to the, what Jesus did, but to go further back to the great authority, to the Father. Herewith I will not talk much with you. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For, now you hear it again, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. He cometh and has nothing in me. We had before, the prince of this world cometh. Now, the prince of this world, it'll be cast out. That was in the part of A, of truth. It's cast out. That's the job of truth, to cast out evil. Here in love, it says, not that he is cast out. The prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. See, he has nothing in me. He doesn't find anything that has to be cast out. Isn't it terrific how he could always go a step higher and higher and higher. And we have to be careful that we just don't read the terms and think, yes, he has already talked about the prince of the world that is cast out. Now he repeats it. No, he doesn't repeat. He lifts it to a greater work. He says, the prince of this world findeth nothing in me. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.